Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts.
I love it though, right? Because that's really why we're here.
Right.
You know, we were looking for something. And for me, it's not being worried. Working for other people, every year there were layoffs, and I went into Christmas every year for 15 years, worried about getting laid off.
Lisa Kelly, welcome to Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Today, we are diving into the heart of curls, confidence, and community with the incredible Lisa, the founder of the Curly Life Company and the genius behind the Abenaki brand. Lisa's journey from battling her frizz to embracing her natural curls has not only transformed her life, but also ignited a global movement of self-love and empowerment. Get ready, because you're going to be inspired by Lisa's passion, innovation, and the powerful community that she's built that is changing the way we see beauty one curl at a time. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and to spread the good news about your frizz.
Exactly. And it's like funny, but it's so not, because I am really into my hair and it matters. Like, your hair is a reflection of confidence, is the way that I feel, honestly. And listeners might be like, that's ridiculous. But if I'm having a bad hair day or I feel frizzy, y'all will feel it, because I won't be feeling my best.
It's funny, because we all are aware of that inner voice, that inner critic. And if you've seen anything on YouTube anywhere, they're talking about that voice. You've got to silence that voice in your head. When you have a bad hair day, that voice is very loud. it's reminding you constantly. And I just, you know, once I hit my 50s, I couldn't believe that I was still worried about my hair. Like, I'm too old for this. I should have this figured out. And that's really, really what drove me down the path. It was just, there's got to be some solution that I can count on every day and not have to spend a ton of time on it. And I just want to get out the door and forget about my hair, because I know it looks good. You know?
Yes. So. And that's how I feel. And I don't have curly hair, but I want that same exact feeling. So I love that you were like, I'm going to embrace my natural curls and ignore all the songs of, like, you know, the curly girls want straight hair. It's like, no more. You've changed that. You can embrace your curls. So let's talk about the Curly Life Company. And I just want to hear just your personal transformation. We talked a little bit about it, but then how did it actually lead to creating a community and a brand? Because we as women, it's like, oh, I don't like my hair. But then you take it all these steps further, build a community and an entire brand that you're selling on a website, on Amazon, and other platforms.
It was so interesting, because it was a real evolution, and I love the chance to share it, because I did not start strong. And so I hope I can speak to some people who are feeling a little bit timid, because in the beginning I was like, well, I don't know about doing that. I've never done anything like that. I'm not even sure what to do. But I had ended a job that I had been at for quite a while. I was in the corporate project manager for many years, and very successful, even though I wasn't successful with my hair during those years, but very successful in that job. And then that had come to an end. And there's that moment where you're like, well, I could go find another job. Or what about this idea I've had cooking in the back of my head? And I don't know. And but that was really the beginning of giving myself permission to pursue this. And for a long time, I was even like embarrassed that I was doing it. I wouldn't really tell people. It's like, well, I'm doing this little, I have an idea. I'm kind of working on it on the side. And so it was a big day when I establish the company name. And then in my mind, I was always thinking, okay, I'm going to put at least one product under this name, but I think there's room for a lot. And I want to build the brand right. So as soon as I would get an idea on a domain that might work, a name that might work, I would go buy the domain. And that worked well for me to just really start going down two paths at the same time, to be thinking product and be thinking brand. And so that was the beginning. And we established the company in 2019, but it was a good 2+ years later before the product launched. So
yes, I bet. Yeah, let's talk about that. Like just having the idea and actually bringing it to concept. And also, I'm huge into packaging design and I absolutely love the black and the gold vibes. Like that is beautiful. And I imagine that that alone was a lot of work just to come up with that. And I will say I can see all the love that went into your product just taking a glance at them. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. It definitely, a lot of hours, went into it. And then it's interesting because, you know, as with anything, you have your vision and then you have what's actually physically possible.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And so, yeah. And then you have like, oh, it's going to be, the handle will be hydro dipped in a floral pattern. And it's going to be amazing. Each one will be unique to some degree. And then you find out it's simply not feasible. There's just no way that can happen. And then you find out they have a hard time getting the seams to line up well. So, and white can show errors if you don't have the design just right. And so you go through all these permutations until you're like a black handle. It's elegant and it covers all the bases. So a lot of things you kind of stumble onto, but you have to do the homework. If you haven't done all of that work to test out the different areas, then you don't realize when you stumble onto a great solution, you know, and then everything comes together. You're like, okay, great. Now we keep moving down the line. So
what kept you moving down the line? I mean, that's a long time to bring the product to life. And I'm guessing, because I see some similarities in you and I and women in general, is we're like, you know what, this is causing me a lot of hassle. Like, what, how'd you not give up?
There was a point, the hardest point was when I had a good year and a half in design. And that's hard money spent. And time spent. And I had the design made so that there would be metal pins. And that's the, this part I'll refer to as the pins. I had it designed so that there'd be metal pins and the parts would come screwed together. The pins would go in. And I thought the pins would be the easiest part. I spent all this time on everything else. And then I started working on, the people who can machine the pins for you. And I found out they were going to be $1 each if I could commit to 100,000 of them.
Wow. And how many pins are on that one product you just held up? And for the listeners, you can check out the product on YouTube. She just held it up. But how many pins is just on that one product?
There's 12 pins on there.
Yeah, that's so, a lot.
Yeah, it would be $100 styler. So that was a moment of everything is back to the drawing board and all the money that was spent, all the time that was spent. That was a couple of weeks to regather myself. And then I just, every time I've gotten hit with an extra challenge, and there's been some big ones, I tell myself, this is why I have a shot at this, because this is where other people walk away and I'm going to stick with it. And that's why I have a chance to be successful, because I know I'll stick with it. I won't walk away. And so I really see my story as a case of tenacity, where it's like most people would have walked away a long time ago for many, many reasons. And I'm like, okay, this is why. If it was easy, everybody would do it, right?
Yeah.
So when the challenges come up, well, that's actually my opportunity to be a success, because that's when I get to show myself and keep going.
If it were easy, everybody would do it. And that's also what sets fearless sellers apart, is it's not easy and you do it anyway and you keep pushing forward. Anything worth doing, nobody does if it's easy, right? Workouts and everything. So yeah, I love that point you just made, and that does speak volumes for you. So you could have just launched the product though and used keywords to sell on Amazon and on your website, but you took it even further and you came out with community, right? So how, like, what were your thoughts to building a community, and like what strategies have you found most helpful, and maybe like some struggles building the community?
The curly girl world is very strong and large out there. So it was a matter of diving in as much as we could and embracing leaders in that space, embracing, you know, fearless content creators and people who were demonstrating product and encouraging women to wear their hair curly. And so it wasn't that I wanted to come in and create my world. It okay. was, this is a great world. Let's be a passionate part of it. And I want to make sure we bring value. So I think that's what helped us, was our desire to, I'm not going to just put some tips out there that I researched and this is the five tips that came up. I want to believe in those tips. I want to have used those myself and they were successful for me. I don't want to propagate false truths about, and it sounds silly because it's about curly hair, but yet those things get perpetuated because, you know, someone just says it here and posts it here and reprints it there. And it's like, yeah, but that's not true. You know? So I want people to count on us for, we did a little extra work. We wanted to make sure what we give you is value, whether it's product or information.
And what advice do you have for people selling on Amazon or getting started to tap into a community that already exists, but you want to be not only a part of, but you want to be a leader, like a bringing value, as you said, like a brand evangelist?
I believe for us, what worked was a site and blogs.
Mm.
I think blogs, with the doing your SEO work, having blogs, being able to tie your posts on your social networks to your blogs, drive some traffic there, and all of that education and information just gives you validity, so that when people are doing a search and they spot you here, spot you there, and then see you on Amazon or vice versa. Amazon's a great search engine. A lot of people go search on Amazon. And if they search on Amazon and they see it, and then they might go then do a search and then we'll pop up. But we've got some depth and breadth to us, right? We're not just one product. Here's the product. Here's how the product works. Anytime you look us up, you're going to find more information. And it's not, it seems overwhelming at first. I can remember just thinking, all these people have all these blogs, and how on earth are we going to, how do we compete in that space? How do we even have a voice? It's like, just start, because, you know, we're in our third year and I look back at our blogs, I'm like, holy cow, that's quite a collection of blogs. You know, it's lovely. Once it got rolling, once you make a commitment to a schedule, like, I'm going to get something out there, and it starts to build up, and then you have this validity.
Yes, I love that. You just keep going and you just do it. Because if you don't start, then you're really never, never going to do it. And I love that you're utilizing blogs, and SEO plays into it, especially, I'm sure, with looking for curly or frizzy hair solutions. People go to Google a lot for that. So it's good to have the SEO for the blogs, and always sell on Amazon too. But I love that you're utilizing SEO. So what about getting feedback from the community that has helped you with developing your brand and also your products, like maybe coming up with a new product or changing a product or product decisions in general?
I love that you asked this question, because I want to share something that I've seen in my previous career and I saw with this. There's something about when you first start launching a new product, or you're bouncing a new idea off of people, or your first few reviews, I feel like, and I've observed it, those are going to be perhaps your harshest critics.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if people are like, well, who do they think they are? They're no different from me. They don't know enough to be that. And this is junk, you know, like, so, or this is, doesn't make sense, or this, whatever it is, they're going to like, they want you to stay in their bubble. They don't want you out here in your own bubble. They don't want you to break free. And I think that's important to point out, because you don't want to toss people out of your world because of this. I think it's kind of a weird human nature thing, where sometimes their intentions are to keep you safe. You know, they don't want you being out there on your own out there. But then when it's the community, the social media community, that was tough, because it was harsh. But in the beginning, everything was negative. And I kept going. I did discover this. For me, giving the product away meant it had no value to the person who received it. I thought, let me give these to some people and see what they think. It meant nothing to them. And so it's like, they need to have some skin in the game. It needs to mean something to them. I can do a discount to get things going with larger users, but I don't give the product to anybody. Everybody, if you're interested in it, let's see what we can work out. But if you're not interested enough to pay for part of it, why are we talking? You know, you're not going to think well of it if you receive something that didn't mean much to you anyway in the first place. So, but I would say in the beginning, that feedback, I was scared to death of it, and it was negative, but I felt like it was groundless. I felt like, well, you didn't get it, you know? So that helped me press on. And I got some phone calls from two women in particular, and one I'm still closer with today. They picked up the phone and called me and said, this is genius. This is wonderful. I'm so glad you did this. I don't know who you are or, you know, but this is so fantastic. And that one gal, she's a salon. She owns her own salon, and she has sold 100 stylers from a single chair in her salon. You know, so she's one of our salons that sells the product. But that phone call meant the world to me, because in the beginning, there's a lot of people kind of, they don't want you rising up. And so in the beginning, I would say, you got to go with your gut. And then it reaches a point where more people start chiming in and you start hitting bands of positivity. And then you get people who are like, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm so glad you made this. This is genius. Some of the reviews, I'm like, that looks like someone paid that person, because it's just too good of a review.
Yes, you got raving fans. That's the goal. Yeah. You want your raving fans.
So I would say stick with it. And that might go against some common business practice of like, well, make sure you get some feedback. And if it's bad feedback, and I'm like, I don't know. If you really believe in it, I would push harder, because people have a hard time with other people's success. I don't understand it. But
and I hate to say it, but often it is in the women community. And that's one of the reasons I love this, doing this podcast, because I want to just everybody celebrate each other and we can all cheer each other on. And when you get your first negative reviews when you've launched and you're so excited, it hurts, man. Like, it hurts so bad. Yeah. And it makes me feel like everything I've done was wrong and it wasn't the right decision. And I've been selling for a long time now and I've sold lots of different products. And I just have to remind myself that, like, I can take those negative reviews on the chin, and I need to work to find my raving fans and find the people that this product is for. You said you don't give the product for free. And that is a different view than probably some of our listeners have heard in the past. And it made me think of people who pay, they pay attention. And if you give it for free, you're right. It's kind of like, oh, well, this is free. They're kind of, you know, begging me to take this. So I really kind of like that approach. And that kind of stuck out in my head of, you know, I don't give my product away for free because all my product is at Amazon anyway. So I don't have it. Well, okay, I have one sitting here, but I won't give this one away. So yeah, I'm like, but people ask me, oh, can I have this or can I have that? And like, I have tons of my products sitting around. And I say, well, you can go on Amazon. But I often say to them, I said, you know what? I'm not here to sell things to my friends and family, and I'm not here to give things away. But if it's a product you're looking for, please go and search for it on Amazon and let me know your experience. And I hope that you choose my product, but I'd love to know what the full shopping experience is. Cause then I learn, like, hey, did you pick my product or not?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I do want to point out, if somebody's reached out to me to say, I want to provide you with videos demonstrating your product. Well, now we're talking about something different, right? In terms of me knocking on their door when they've never thought of me, it never occurred to them. And now I'm going to say to them, here, I'll send it to you. Please do something with it. That's where I find it's a bad idea for me, for my product. So
yes, exactly. Influencers are different. I'm in the Amazon influencer program. So I've had brands ask me to make product videos for them, and I do get the product for free. So that's completely different.
That's
like a business partnership.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I was clear that that's different than what I'm saying, you know?
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure. That's like business relationships and partnerships. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure you have great influencers, but those are very valuable relationships that do have exchange of compensation in some way.
And you're so right. It's your baby. When someone says, when you read some of these reviews, and it's crazy how it cuts you. And you're like, your mind's like, well, I got to work on this. You're like, I don't have a half hour for this one person who doesn't like it anyway. Meanwhile, we've sold 33,000 of these in 6-7 countries. Like, why am I worried about this person? You know, it's okay if they're not happy.
Yes. And you can't please everybody. And the more sales, it's like the best advice I can tell somebody is when they're getting negative reviews right after they've launched. Because we all get negative reviews. It's part of selling. It's not all roses. It's like you just take it and you need to push more and more sales, because you will find your raving fans. And it might not be the first, you know, batch of 200 that buy your product. But like you just said, once you hit in the tens of thousands, they're there. And, you know, your product is proven. So how do you measure success? Like, when you're laying in bed at night and you're thinking about it, like, how are you measuring success? I'm going a little deep here, but I want to get in your head.
I love it though, right? Because that's really why we're here.
Right.
You know, we were looking for something. And for me, it's not being worried. I working for other people every year, there were layoffs. And we would go into, I went into Christmas every year for 15 years, worried about getting laid off. So you weren't enjoying Christmas because maybe you shouldn't buy that gift for somebody because it might be your last paycheck for a while. You got to, you know, get another job. And it was this insane situation. I did not like that. Nobody likes that. I wasn't unique there. And I didn't like other people. I didn't like being held back by their perception of me or by the position's allowance of how fast I can run, right? That's really what it boiled down to. It's like, I know I can run faster than this. Why do I have to just stay in this box? And I wanted the chance. And so for me, the satisfaction is laying in bed at night and like my head's full of all the crazy stuff that I'm doing or that's coming up, or, you know, because every day there is something new that we could do to grow the brand, or there's new opportunities because we've come this far. And it's like, holy cow, it's this giant playground. And I'm not worried about somebody else dictating how I get to do it, when I get to do it, and when I don't get to do it. And there's certainly sleepless nights because nobody else is writing that check.
Yeah, for sure.
But once you figure yourself out and realize I know how to do something here that I can apply in a lot of different directions. So it's like in Gone with the Wind, you know, I'll never go hungry again. You know, I will never work for anybody else again. And I'll be okay. And there could be some crazy times in there along the way, but that's my satisfaction is that anxiety level is gone.
Yes. And you get to bet on yourself. I always say just bet on yourself because you don't want to let yourself down.
Yes. That's great. I love that. Yeah.
So let's talk about the future. It seems like the Curly Life Company has so much exciting times ahead. You've took you a bit to get up and running, to get everything perfect. You've been selling for 3 years. You've seen success globally. So what just excites you about the future for the Curly Life?
I do want to make sure I tell your viewers and you as well. When we first went live on Amazon, it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving of our first year. And we finally were live, you know, because getting that post up, your first post up takes so much longer than you think it's going to take.
Yes.
And it was finally up there. And I went to bed that night and part of me thought, I was going to wake up and we were going to have to pack 1,000 stylers.
Oh no.
That is not what happened.
I love it.
So the first month, and that was Thanksgiving. That was Black Friday. We didn't have word out on the street about anything. I mean, it was out there as a listing with pictures about what it did, but we sold three that November to family.
I don't mean to laugh, but you're making me laugh.
And then in December, we sold 12. And one of those was a brand new person unknown to me. A true stranger happened there upon it and said, I want that. That was a big moment. And then January, we did, because we kept tripling or quadrupling. Yeah, January, we went up again. February, again, we're like at the 160 mark. By the time we hit March, that's when we sold 2,000 that month.
Wow.
So it was 3 months of, oh my God, I can't believe we sold the houses, you know?
Yeah.
So just again, some encouragement. But in terms of going forward, when you having reached this point of like, okay, we've been up and running and we're getting sold in other countries now. We have our hair care line is out and working on making some, coming up with additional products And it's, I'm looking at the lifestyle brand aspect of Curly Life and what we can offer under that. And we also have opportunities with review sites. I've got quite a few different domains that I'd like to leverage with just more information about products that are out there, you know, including ours, but also just reviews of there's great products out there. I'd like to be a part of that information, whether it's my product or somebody else's. So a lot of different directions I want to go in, and it's always tough saying there's only so many hours in the day. So how are we going to do this?
Yeah, there is. And I get that way too. I get like the shiny excitement over here and here. And like, I just launched a new product 6 weeks ago, and I'm always like, okay, I'm ready to launch another product. And it's like, hey, you know what? There's things I haven't done that I wanted to on the product I just launched. And I just placed another inventory order, and I didn't cover everything I wanted to in that inventory order. So I'm like, why am I sitting here trying to launch a new product? Because I get excited and I'm like, oh, my sales are good. My brand is building more. So I love how you're like, yeah, we have all these ideas, but you have to rein yourself in and put it in perspective and maybe phases or realistic timelines and budget, right? We're writing big checks.
Yeah. Don't you think that's the most, I found it the most important part, but I'd love to hear what you think in terms of being able to refocus, because what was a priority 2 weeks ago is not the priority today. Like, the landscape's always changing a little bit, and every morning you wake up and it's not like time to make the donuts. It's like, who knows what you're doing today?
But
it's vitally important, and you better figure out which one of the top five things you got to do today, you know, let some things fall on the floor.
Exactly. And I always try to organize it by my overarching goal. So like with my product line right now, I'm looking at two main goals: improving my organic rank and getting my conversions dialed in. So that sounds like a ton more goes into that, but I put those as my two overarching goals. So launching a new product does not hit those goals right now. And Lisa, I'll be fully honest with you and the listeners. I have a monkey brain, right? It goes all over the place. So I work out every single morning, and I think while I'm doing spin class or while I'm lifting weights. This morning it was boxing, and I walk out of boxing and I can talk to myself a little more calmly and be like, all right, today we're going to tackle our big goal. And once we get closer to achieving that, then I'm going to allow my head to go off on my other exciting tangent.
That's great. That's fantastic, right? So you're like, you're reining it in, calming it down, but you also have the little reward out there.
Yes. And I'll validate it. I'm like, it's okay that I want to do all these things, but it's not the best use of my time. I don't need to go drop another $10,000 on a product when I haven't got these other products. So it's a punishment and a reward. And people are listening like, that's your kind of fun, like launching new products. But really it is, because when you see the sales and the success coming in, and like you, Lisa, building the community and the fans, it does give you the purpose to wake up and be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because you feel out of touch if you aren't making sure that community isn't part of the schedule.
Yeah.
Because you can get wrapped up in other things, and it's like, wait a minute, what's going on out there? You know, we got to be manning all fronts.
Yes, exactly. I love it. Well, I am so excited for your products and for your brand line and the growth and all of your success. And I just want to thank you for being so open and sharing your story from corporate world to where you went all in on yourself and your brand. So congratulations on your growth. Do you have anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
No, just to say I'm thrilled to be on your podcast. I love what you're doing in terms of promoting women in particular and women supporting women. And there's so much opportunity out there. And if you're not sharing it with people, they're missing great chances. So thank you for having me. I loved it. And anytime you want to chat, let's chat.
Yes, I would love to have you back. And everybody listening, get out there and share your stories. It's going to help somebody and inspire. And that's what this podcast in the Fearless Sellers community is all about. And until next time, stay fearless.
If you're already selling on Amazon or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.